probably a
camel.
Plane.
Camel?
Camel?
Flamingo?
We've had flamingo. Flamingos, camels, and giraffes. The Tile SM podcast brings you it all. Welcome back to the Tile SM podcast, your regular dose of news and views on all things Reading Football Club. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of the Tile SM, and over the next hour, we'll break down Reading's summer transfer activity so far. This included a trio of big names leaving, a host of new signings arriving, and a mixed start to our pre-season friendly schedule. Joining me this week and regularly throughout the season is Tile SM deputy editor Johnny Williams. Johnny, welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here. It feels like we've been away such a long time, but I'm sure we'll smooth back into the running of things very quickly.
We have been out of Tile SM Towers for far too long. And the other man joining us today is the podcasting legend himself, Mr. Alan West. Otherwise known as Westy. Westy, hello.
That's starting to make me old, being
what,
a legend.
What season is this? What season you start? Was it 09-10 you started?
Someone has to check out. It was Bradley White Phillips. Plymouth, 2-0. Home defeat.
For Southampton when he was playing. I think it was 08-09 maybe. Was Coppell still manager? He was, because I remember you doing a podcast on Coppell leaving. So yep. That makes
there
it...
There you go, you remember more
longest,
than me. Yeah.
You're probably the longest serving Reading member at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, so what was that, fifth, sixth season in the job now?
I know, I'm still getting called back.
We won't let you go. Right, well, if you are just listening to this show for the first time, welcome. Thanks very much for hitting the download button. If you're returning after the summer, I hope your ears are rested, because over the next 52 weeks or so, maybe a little bit less, we'll be breaking down Reading's action week in, week out, unless there's an international break when we all get to go on our jolly holidays with all the money we make from this show.
Yeah, why aren't we in Jamaica at the moment? Or in the USA, rather? Yeah.
Well, after my honeymoon, I'm just not allowed back. That's the thing about that. I did go to Jamaica, obviously on a scouting mission. Naturally. But, you know, got the vibe. Unfortunately, no one in the hotel really knew who Michael Hector or Gareth McCleary was.
Well, the thing is, it's a Jamaican team. I was watching yesterday, actually, funnily enough. Well, yesterday, if you're listening to it now, yeah. Most of it's a Reading X11 anyway, or 11, two that play now and two that have played before. So if you're watching Jamaica, you're pretty much watching Reading, which is all right, since they got to a final.
I'm glad you've got a goalkeeper signed up, because Jamaica's goalkeeper was absolutely abysmal.
I think he was a fan that they'd shipped in to play.
No, they say he plays in the third division of American football. Which is, you know, basically League One of the MLS.
Yeah, it's lower than what Simon Shepherd is coaching at, who we had on this very show last year.
He reminded me a little bit of Simon Shepherd in many ways.
And that's what you get from this show. This is by the fans, for the fans. Anything you want to bring up, be it something from the past, something you're thinking about for the future, or thoughts you've got on the team right now, we welcome your opinions each and every week onto this show. You can get in touch with us in various ways. You can get us on Twitter. We're at the Tile SM. That's all one word. And if you use the hashtag TTE podcast, your questions and thoughts get to us a lot quicker and a lot easier. You can also just send us an email to thetilelessend@gmail.com, and we've got a Facebook page as well, which is at facebook.com/thetilelessend.
No excuses then, by the sounds of
it. No excuses whatsoever. We do have a couple of threads on forums as well. We've got a thread on Hobnob and the Royals Rendezvous. I don't check them as much as I should, but if you do happen to want to get in touch, try the Twitter. It's the easiest and best way to get in touch. And just before we move on to the main bulk of the show, please subscribe to the show. If you want to get this straight to your mobile device or your computer, whatever you listen to us on, why not subscribe in iTunes or subscribe through whatever podcast player you get? Helps us out very much. And if you leave a review on iTunes, helps other fans find us so they can share your pain at having to listen to us every week, which is nothing but a good thing.
We hope so.
Indeed. Right, well, that is enough of that. We've got plenty to talk about. As I said, we've been off the air now for about six, seven weeks or so since we did our end of season special. So lots to get through. Let's move straight on to our Reading News Bites.
Reading News Bites on the Tilehurst End podcast.
Right, welcome back to News Bites. As I said, lots to discuss. We're going to start at the start of pre-season, lads, because we've got a lot of transfer news to talk about. We're going to save that for pub chat, but I just thought I'd run through our pre-season results so far. Reading jetted off to Thailand. They've done plenty of media, quite a fuss being made of them in Thailand, which is nice. I think they get more attention in Thailand than they do in Reading these days. they went to Thailand. They only played the one game, and they drew 2-2 with the Thailand All-Stars. Now, guys, I didn't see much of this game because, as mentioned, I was away. But what did you make of the Thailand All-Stars, first of all?
Well, I thought it was a decent enough game. I think when you haven't played for so long and then you've only got one game there in such sweltering hot conditions as well. I think, you know, they did as well as they could, really. Lucky to salvage a draw in the end. But, you know, the fact that we could stream it live on YouTube and other streaming websites as well, obviously broadcasting
we're
to the
world. We're international now.
Yeah, you know, I think they had about 25,000 viewers, which is more than they get at the Mad Stats, so that's not bad.
It might have been a bad total. That tour to South Korea a few years back.
Peace Cup.
The Peace Cup, yeah. Mm. Not quite as high profile, but getting there. But no, I don't get too carried away with pre-season friendlies, and like I said, it was their first game back for a while. It was hot. They got a draw. Doesn't really matter at the end of the day, not really. It's good for the club, and it's good for the finances, I'm sure, that we're sort of spreading our net far and wide.
Yep, goals for Blackman and Pogrebniak.
Blackman's banging them in, that's one thing.
He is, he's got two and two. We'll come on to his other goal at Bristol Rovers in a minute. But yeah, as you said, Johnny, it's pre-season, and I wrote a piece up on the thetirelessend.com, which you can read, where I basically say how I feel about pre-season. And for me, pre-season is like gambling with Monopoly money. You can win or you can lose, but at the end of the day, you're putting it back in the box. It doesn't mean a thing unless you're a collector of Monopoly money, perhaps. But
is that a Gamble Aware reference? Or?
I think it's a first Monopoly season. Aware reference.
Yeah, Monopoly Aware. Beware of rich uncle penny bags.
Or jail.
Do not go to jail.
And there's not much free parking around these days either. So.
Indeed. Take it when you can get it. Reading's next friendly was a behind closed doors game against Tottenham. This was one that sort of came out of the blue, really. I don't think it was really publicised at all. I said behind closed doors, and Tottenham win 1-0 thanks to Christian Eriksen's goal. I saw it. I wasn't particularly convinced with the goalkeeping for it, but other than that...
Yeah, again, I didn't even know they was playing Tottenham until I saw the result, did you?
No one did. We all had a bit of a discussion, but this has just come out of absolutely nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah, like, the under-21s had a game the same day as well, so...
It's not sort of behind closed doors, sort of underground, wasn't it? It's like a Fight Club. Talk about it.
In the secret underground football pitch.
Yeah, it's a good workout. And obviously Tottenham put out a reasonably good side from what I see of it. So, yeah, it's a good run around. They've done all right. Again, don't take too much interest in pre-season results, but, again, it's good for fitness, if anything else.
Yeah, and then Reading went, obviously, down to Bristol Rovers. I consider this the first real pre-season friendly of the season. Away at lower league opposition, your traditional friendly fare. Pick up a 2-0 win, a goal in each half, clean sheet. Nick Blackman gets on the score sheet, as does Dom Samuel. Again, two goals to strikers, which is good considering their form last season. And yeah, Reading come home happy. I don't think anybody picked up an injury. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's on to Swansea tomorrow for the next friendly at Wickham for some reason.
It's good that Samuel and Blackman are giving the manager something to think about as well. I mean, again, you can't take too much interest in pre-season, but you can only beat what you've got in front of you. And if you're putting a ball in the net, it makes it hard for the manager to leave you out, even though he's bought a new striker.
And I think I'm one of the only people to have stuck on the Blackman bandwagon, if you like. I've always sort of...
Well, we'll have to check that out, I think. We'll have to go back for a few...
I think while some people have been, you know, sort of saying he's useless, he is a bit selfish, but, you know, he always showed flashes of being able to take a chance and, you know, score spectacular goals. If he can do that regularly, if he can come into this season with the right mindset, I think he'll be a valuable asset. And now what we've got... Pog and Saar, who Saar hasn't played yet, has he?
No, he's not yet.
Which is, I don't know whether he's unfit or something, but...
Maybe he's moving, sorting out a move.
Yeah, possibly.
But home move, whatever.
Picking out a nice house in Caversham.
Probably, yeah, Sonning, one or two.
Yeah, moving next to Clooney in Sonning Eye. Moving on to a few other bits and pieces of news. Just another note coming out of that Thailand tour that I thought was particularly interesting, guys, was that we actually got to hear from the owners. I'm not even going to dare try and pronounce his name. I'll leave that to Charles on the podcast extra. But Reading's majority owner of name, who I cannot pronounce.
Narin. We'll call him first name.
Yeah, good old Narin. He clarified that Samrit Buntigisada... Narim said, good old Samrit is not involved with the running of the football club, despite the very fact that he seemed to be quite active for the first year of their ownership, but they've moved to distance himself.
Yeah.
Well, the thing was, you know, as everyone saw, he was very active on social media, always chatting to, you know, to fans and stuff. I know David Gold does that for West Ham. He does that on Twitter. And he's the only other sort of chairman or authority figure that I've seen that's really done that. And then suddenly out of nowhere, Samrit, as soon as the deal was going to go through, just completely disappeared. Which is very strange. And obviously he chose not to take the fit and proper persons test. So he's now gone.
He looks like he's acted as more sort of a go-between, an agent. And obviously Anton Ferdinand ended up here mainly because of him, I would have thought. But yeah, again, I don't think it really matters that he's not involved. And maybe it's even a good thing that he's not involved.
Well, I think there'll always be that suspicion around his role. So it was good to clear up that he's not at all involved at the moment. But yeah, as we saw with Anton, someone can come in with grand plans and, you know, promise you the world and then leave you with nothing. So, yeah. You know, at least now we've put a face to the name of the majority owner.
But even in a lot of business, you have these go-between people that sort of are in between and they do the negotiations and then they step aside. It's not unusual.
And to be honest, the best kind of owner is a quiet owner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you don't want them being particularly involved. It's nice to have someone that knows a bit about football, but if someone knows too much about football, they've got the tendency to get involved.
Yeah.
And that's not what... I mean, I know it's their money, they can do what they want, but you kind of want football people running your football club.
But at the same time, you want to know who they are and you want to at least sort of see them.
Oh, I think we've got that.
Yeah.
Well, certainly a lot more over the summer with the tour, and obviously they were around quite a lot around the FA Cup as well. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a lot better about the ownership.
Yeah, I think they're quiet when they need to be, but they're active when we also want them to. So it's been good. I think they've done it the right way. They've not come in all guns blazing. They've kept a pretty low profile for a good 6 months towards what they're up to now, nearly a year, I suppose. And they've done exactly right, the right thing so far. And now they're investing in the side, which we've all been crying out for.
Yeah,
I don't think we have too much complaints at the moment. Absolutely. Maybe that'll change. Who knows?
Well, absolutely. We're sticking with Thailand. Thai Airways are one of our two new shirt sponsors. This is a big topic for everyone. The new shirt sponsors, they join Carabao, the energy drink company. Carabao will sponsor the home kit and Thai Airways will sponsor the away kit. So we have seen their signs up around the Badesk anyway, so I don't think it was a massive surprise.
And they were sponsoring the back of our shirts, Thai Airways, towards the end of the season as well. I think they were in the FA Cup semi-final anyway.
Maybe that's where we were flying during the FA Cup.
Indeed. And just on that note, going to try and weave some tweets in throughout the show. We're going to up our sophistication levels for at least a week. Loyal Royal says, what about the new shirt sponsor? I'm getting used to it. Where would we draw the line?
See, everyone always complains about the kit. I thought, you know, the kit's quite nice. And, you know, the logo's a little bit garish, but at least the colours work. I mean, I'm very much a...
Brings out your eyes, doesn't it?
Brian Davis says, probably late to the parade, but absolutely loving the new Reading home shirt. Weird to feel positive about something the club have done, particularly off the field. Is it going to have another drink?
I wonder if it was if it had been Red Bull, people would have had a different opinion.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, but then we'd have been Red Bull Reading or Red Bull Royals or...
If you know what I mean, but if it was Red Bull, someone we all... more recognisable shirt sponsor, if anyone would have said anything about it.
I think there's a little bit of concern from parents and stuff that on the shirt is an energy drink, and obviously energy drinks aren't the best thing in the world for kids to be drinking.
In the past, we've had Courages and, you know, basically beer.
Are you saying beer isn't good for kids?
I think I am. I don't want to sound controversial here, but I'm saying it's not good for anyone. Not to say it isn't tasty, but it's not good for you.
But again, that was, I suppose, 25 years ago. That they were sponsored, but
are you saying it was worse 25 years ago? Are you standing out of the room? Are you saying that it was worse back in the past? Because I think we've got a lot of old listeners might disagree with you there. Me being one.
No, I'm saying people are much more sensitive to things like sponsorship concerns. Obviously, 25 years ago, you had cigarette companies advertising here, there, and everywhere.
Does anyone like care? I don't.
Well, this is it, and this is what I was going to say. I mean, there are betting companies that sponsor on shirts, and you've had payday loan firms.
Let's face it. The corporate world will sell its soul for a few quid.
Yeah, if they're a legal entity and they're allowed to trade...
God, we're making them sound really bad, don't we?
Yeah.
Like they're on the par with Courages.
What are you saying about Courages?
On the note of bad sponsors, have you seen the new Blackpool sponsor?
No. Have they got one?
It's a giraffe. Oh, no, it might be Hull, actually.
it's a giraffe.
They're sponsored by a giraffe sanctuary.
That's amazing.
That is a good effort.
You say that's amazing?
That is brilliant.
No, that is a good effort.
No, it's not. It's not a sanctuary. That makes it sound far too good.
I used to like Brighton's one, Skint. That's brilliant. That should be Blackpool.
That's Fatboy Slim's record label, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had Auto Trader back in the day. I liked that. I liked all the Auto Trader kits.
Hat painting. That was a particularly poor one, I thought.
Yeah.
How did they even get money to sponsor a football club? I don't know.
West Coast, Kyocera.
Yeah.
And then Waitrose.
Here we go. Have you seen one? Flamingo Land. That's it.
Wow.
Sounds like a bingo company.
Have they got a pink away shirt?
I don't know.
That would be a good effort.
That would be too much of a
tie. I just hope there's going to be some sort of tie-in with actual giraffes.
Or flamingos, probably.
It's
Flamingo Land.
Oh.
They don't have...
I thought it says a giraffe sanctuary called Flamingo.
You did say giraffe.
Yeah, I know I did at first, but, you know, I get my exotic animals confused.
Flamingos, nice.
Indeed, well, I hope there's going to be flamingos. To be honest, they're short of a few players, so they could probably do a job. They can play the offside trap.
They've probably got a few donkeys in the ranks.
Wee-hee. Still managed to get a point off us a couple of months ago. So let's not throw too many stones. Right, well, we mentioned the owners. We've got a couple of polls running up on the thetarlestend.com. One is for the owner approval rating, which at the time of going to air, stood about 4 out of 5. So 8 out of 10.
3.73. Doing a bit of quick maths on
okay.
my phone.
Okay.
3.73.
Sound about right to you?
Yeah, I think that's about right, don't you?
Yeah, 75.
So a bit of closer to good than average.
Yeah. Fair to middling.
Yeah. Yeah. I gave it a 3. I still want to see how the entire window pans out. But positive signs so far.
They've set their structure out. You can see what they're planning to do. They look like they're backing a manager. They haven't gone mental, but who wants them to? They've just done it in the right way. And I think, again, we're going to talk about that. I think the players they brought in are of a good standard for what we're aiming for.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there'll always be a sense of once bitten, twice shy in this. You, as a Reading fan, you always want to see that they come through on these promises. They've been talking about developing the Medeski Stadium complex into some sort of entertainment centre. So, you know, if they can actually get that done, you know, they'll be pushing that rating away up.
They've cut the cost without affecting the squad, I think, personally. But again, we'll go on to that a little bit later.
Yeah, we'll come on to the transfers in just a minute. But just before we do, one other approval rating, Johnny, was that for the manager.
Yep, Steve
Clark. And he's done pretty well.
He has, actually. And this, I sort of expected this, but at the same time wasn't sure if it was actually going to happen. It's the first time he's gone above 4 out of 5 since his first month in charge. First month in charge, I think, 1 defeat in 9 games. So, you know, basically steadied the ships, we got a load of clean sheets, and then a lot of bad things happened in the league. But everyone seems pretty happy with the business he's done over the summer, essentially, and he's now back above 4 out of 5.
Yeah, he's living with the fact that that wasn't his side, you know. And to be fair, the back end of the season, Reading were pretty poor. Only in the FA Cup skated over that fact. But now it's his side. It looks like he's building his own squad. He's put his own backroom staff in. Now he lives and dies, as far as I'm concerned, this season.
Yeah, again, I would probably still rate close to a 3 than a 4, because until you actually see this side, I mean, signings look good on paper, but until you actually see it, I mean, you know, he's addressed the key areas, but at the moment, are we treading water? Are we going forward? I'm not sure.
Interestingly, without the FA Cup run, what would he be getting now?
Well, he was the worst championship manager, I think, in our history.
This is what I'm saying. He'd be looking at a 2, I think. Maybe even a 1. People would probably be calling for his head. I'm not saying it should, I'm just saying it probably would. But
no, I think
this season, he lives and dies by what he's done. We'll see.
Yeah, and finally, just before we do come on to all that transfer talk, there's two little bits of news. The first is that Alex McCarthy has moved on to Crystal Palace today for a fee, believed to be about £3.5 million. Now, I know Alex McCarthy left Reading 12 months ago, so while we're bringing this up, the point of it is that because he's only moved on for £3.5 million, Reading are probably going to miss out on a pretty generous selling on fee. Because they sold him for about £3 million to QPR a year ago. And the way these things usually work is that you get a sell on fee based on the profit, not the overall fee. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is different, but 9 times out of 10, it's done on your profit. So at £500,000 profit, even if Reading had 20% of that sell on fee, they're only making £100,000. Now that is a real blow, because when he left, we all thought this is a keeper that could go on to big things.
Yeah, I still think he will go on to big things. I just think QPR was a particularly poor move for him. I think he should have given us another year. Probably was out of his hands. I know the club needs to sell him. But the way I look at it is they got £3 million for a goalkeeper that come through the academy. So are we really worried about signing on fee? I don't think so. I think it's good for his career and good luck to him, because I like Alex McCarthy.
But I've written a bit more on him on the 5-year plan Crystal Palace website. So if you go over there, you can see my thoughts on the move. And finally, I know I've been teasing you about this pub chat, but one other bit of news, and it is a really good bit of news, is that Jamaica have made the Gold Cup final, a Jamaica squad including Gareth McAleary and Michael Hector, plus former Royals Joby McAnuff and Adrian Mariapa. It's the first time they've ever reached a Gold Cup final. They'll face Mexico in the final on Sunday. And they knocked out the favourites, USA, in a dramatic semi-final.
I'll tell you what, it was a brilliant match. I mean, the tackles were flying in, really, really fast pace. There weren't too many shots on goal, but congratulations to them. Hector made a couple of really, really good sort of interceptions to stop one-on-ones. McAleary, it was a bit of a typical McAleary game, really. A lot of running, a lot of neat tricks, but his cross generally
I thought that hit
the first man and went out for a corner.
Yeah, I thought that. Especially the back end of the second half, McAleary had a golden opportunity to score, at least work the goalkeeper, and he seemed to do nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he defended well. He worked hard up and down that flank, but again, he sort of flat to deceive many occasions. I thought the free kick from Giles Barnes was particularly good as well.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, you talk about that one being dramatic. Did you hear what happened in the Mexico match?
No.
10 minutes of added time. because it was 1-0 to Panama and Mexico got a penalty in the 90th minute. They complained about it for 10 minutes and then he finally scored it to take it into extra time, and then they got another penalty in extra time through.
Oh, really?
And people were throwing stuff on the pitch.
Dubious, was it?
I don't know whether it was dubious. I think people just thought, oh, Panama, come on.
But the key question here that Tim has posed is, with Jamaica's success in the goal, will Jamaica's success in the Gold Cup be good or bad for Reading? You have to make a choice, so no fence sitting allowed.
I can only see it being bad. For one thing, they're there longer, so yeah, we get the players back even later.
Yeah, and it's important to remember, they've also played in the Copa America earlier this summer as well. So basically, those two players have been non-stop. I think they had a couple of weeks maybe at the end of the season, but apart from that...
Yeah, although, I mean, you say they're in the Copa America, but I think testing themselves against bigger sides, and the other teams would have been doing warm-up matches as well, so... you know, it's 6-1 and
yeah, but it's, you know, playing back-to-back tournaments with things on the line. I mean, it's one thing playing friendlies where you might be playing at say 80%, but if you're in a tournament up against Lionel Messi, can't afford to be anything but 100.
I think I'm going to disagree for a change. I'm going to say it'll be a good thing for Reading. It's a good thing for Hector, for one. It's good experience for him. He's still a young lad. I'm sure a few tournaments are not going to affect him too much. The only one to worry about is McCleary, because his fitness has not been great.
No, I actually agree with you, Rusty. I think it's a good thing.
And I think they come back confident. If they come back with a win, if they've won a tournament, then it's only going to be good for them. And I think at the moment we could ease them back into the side, because there's enough players there at the moment to take their place in the meantime.
And they can have 3 weeks off, because if you think...
They will have 3 weeks off.
If you think about it, they'll come back, say, after Sunday, so they might come back Monday, Tuesday. Might miss the other friendlies. Maybe they'll play for a couple of minutes against Espanyol. Might get on the bench against Birmingham, then they've got the League Cup game, and then probably the time of the Leeds game on the Sunday.
I think they'll need a longer break than that. I mean, if you look at players like Sergio Aguero and Alexis Sanchez, they're not going to play until the second week of the Premier League season. And they finished their Copa America a couple of weeks ago. So I think we probably won't see them until September, if they're even playing for us. If they put in another two good shifts on Sunday night, then... You know, bigger clubs may come calling. We know how good Hector's going
to
be.
Yeah. Right, well, speaking of bigger clubs, several Reading players have moved on to other big clubs. Some of them bigger, some not so much. We'll talk about all of that, plus the players Reading have signed, in our pub chat.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Right, welcome back to Pub Chat. It is the Pub Chat you've all been waiting for. And in fact, that we've been waiting for, really, because we go a long, long time without talking about transfers. Well, we talk about them not happening.
Yeah, it's the curse of the transfers nowadays.
And the ones we do get are glamour signings like Jure Travner, Yakubu, Zat Knight.
Yeah, big players 10 years ago.
Yeah. For you CMO 304 players out there, the cream of the crop. Yakubu was a demon.
How much familiarity, just retrospectively, I know we're ad-libbing a little bit, but how much do you think they had a cost, Reading, 10 years ago, Yakubu?
Didn't Yakubu go for 8 million?
Yeah, Yakubu went for a fair amount of money.
That's what I'm saying, it would have been big transfers then.
I think Jure Travner would have cost about the same.
We just missed a decade, that's all.
Is that night was an England international?
You're paying for the future with Yakubu as well, he's only about 15.
Yeah, he's still in his 20s.
He was 32 when he played for Reading last year, I'll have you know.
Yeah, right.
The man is 3 years older than me. Don't know whether to be depressed or excited about that fact.
Yeah, but I seem to remember watching him on Match of the Day when I was at school. That was a while back.
Now. Right,
he's
transfers.
Gone, he's gone, we can say anything.
Yeah, he is gone. He is one of several players to leave the club. We discussed a lot of these, the earlier releases, in our end of season show. So if you want to hear our thoughts on that, you can go back then. But the big ones were Adam Federici, Alex Pearce, Jem Karachan and Stephen Kelly. Federici, as mentioned, went to Bournemouth. Alex Pearce went to Derby. Jem Karachan went to Galatasaray. And Stephen Kelly has just in the past few days announced he's left the club. Westy, I'm going to come to you first with the biggest name in that group. I want your initial reaction to Stephen Kelly's departure.
Brilliant. Thank God for that. I can't believe they're going to give him another year to sit on the bench and come on and be abject.
So he was offered a new deal.
Again, why? What has he done to deserve a new deal over the course of the last two or three seasons he's been here?
I'm going to defend Stephen Kelly because I think he's a very solid fullback. I think he's a pretty useless left back, but I think at right back, he's pretty solid.
If he was that good, he'd have started more games.
Yeah, but I had this argument the other day. Chris Gunter, in my opinion, is one of the top... I know Handbags won't thank me for saying this. He's one of the top five, I'd say, defenders in this league.
In his position, yeah.
Yeah. So not edging him out for a position, I don't think is a particularly bad sign.
But Kelly never starts wherever he is. He's had a few clubs. He's never been a mainstay. Anymore.
No. He's a player that gets 10 games or so when someone's injured and then drifts out again.
He's steady, but I'm sure he was on a big wage and there's no need to have me, I don't think.
Well, he's gone. And as mentioned, the three others are much more of note. Federici, Pearce and Karachan. Johnny, any of those three a surprise you? Did you expect any of the three to stay?
I didn't expect any of them to stay, but I would have liked at least one of them to stay.
Which one?
If you had to pick me down for one, I'd say Federici, because I'm not convinced by either Bond or
really?
Alhabsy.
I would have said Karachan, because I think he's got the biggest potential out of those three.
I think Karachan's got the biggest potential, but like with any injury, you don't quite know if he's gonna be the same player. I think as much as anything, it would have been a big statement of intent if we could have warded off all these big clubs. The owners sort of said to these players, "Look, this is the plan we've got. You know, come for the next few years, stay for the next few years, and hopefully we can be going somewhere." But you can see why all the players have gone to the clubs they've gone to. Federici, Bournemouth in the Premier League. I mean, he's only fighting off Artur Boric, who I don't think will put up much resistance. Alex Pearce to Derby. I don't know if he'll get a game there, to be honest. I didn't see him as that, you know, sort of ball-playing defender. And Karachan to Galatasaray, you know, his boyhood club. But again, I'm not sure that he is up to the standard of a Champions League club.
Cem Karachan 2013 is, but is Cem Karachan 2015?
Champions League?
I think a fringe. But Galatasaray, you need squad players like that. And worst, Jimmy Traore's won the Champions League. Let's not forget that. Bad players play in the Champions League.
I think with Cem, I think that's an offer you can't refuse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no brainer.
Yeah. His point in his career, for a club like that, and being from Turkish descent, I think you cannot turn down the opportunity of playing a Champions League, because you will never get that otherwise.
And with the security of the deal as well.
Yeah, and let's face it, Galatasaray win the league 99 times out of 100 anyway. So even if he'd probably start in the Turkish league, whether he'd cope in the Champions League, but they don't ever win it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, some fans have said, "Oh, well, he needs to show Reading loyalty because they backed him for three seasons while he was injured." I think he played 36 league games in 3 years. But to those people, I say, if you were offered a 3-year job, exactly, play Champions League football somewhere else, or a pay-as-you-play deal, maybe it's somewhere you're pretty happy, but
this
what do you choose?
This move could set him up for life, you know? Set him up for life. And you can't knock the kid, because every time he played for Reading, he gave 100%. Mm. I never thought he was the best player in the world, but he gave you all he had, and that's all I've ever asked. But for Karachan, I think it's a great move. He's been brilliant for the club. I'm sure he didn't want to leave, but when you're only offered a year's deal, and you've got the injuries you've had. And you've got the injuries you've had. You can't blame him for walking away. And I think anyone with a brain in their head would have done exactly the same thing.
I can very much see him coming back to Reading one day.
Yeah, again, we'd have him back with open arms if he could prove his fitness. But if you look at the amount of games he's played over the last three seasons, it hasn't been a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Federici was a situation, again, of Reading could not really afford to compete with the wages. He signed an Anton Zingarevich contract. He was going to have to take a massive pay cut, basically, to stay at the same level. And as soon as a Premier League club come calling, again, there's no real contest.
Yeah, there isn't. And I think, again, I've said all I need to say about Federici down the years. I don't think he's good enough to be a Premier League goalkeeper. So I think he's been replaced, and I think he'd be replaced by either one of them two goalkeepers. Bond still got a little bit of work in him, but he's still a young goalkeeper with plenty of potential.
And for Bournemouth, it's a good signing, because, again, if they get relegated, and let's be completely honest about this, they are probably the favourite. I think they are the favourites to get relegated, and rightly so, given how quickly they've risen up and their infrastructure. If they get relegated, they've got a very good goalkeeper.
Yeah, they've got a steady championship goalkeeper.
A couple of other departures, but we've already discussed them. So let's move on again to positive things. Now, Reading have actually signed players, and there were a lot of
players.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of talk for ages about the budget hasn't been delivered. Clark doesn't know how much he's got to spend. And I was getting antsy, Johnny. I was thinking, oh God, here we go again.
I was waiting for that green light. He kept talking about a green light that needs to be lit, and then suddenly,
well, I was thinking, are they hand delivering the budget from Thailand? Have they sent some poor lad on like a bike?
Or
a rickshaw, or some sort of like push bike? I don't know, something.
Rickshaw.
A rickshaw. I don't know. I don't know what sort of transportation. Probably a plane.
Camel?
Flamingo?
We've had flamingo. Flamingos, camels, and giraffes. The Tile SM podcast brings you it all. But no. So it took a long time for the budget to get green lit. But when it did, the transfers started rattling in. We had Paul McShane and Stephen Quinn arrive from Hull, both on free transfers. Orlando Sarr signed from Legia Warsaw. Ali Alhabsy has joined on a free. He was last with Wigan. And Jonathan Bond signs from Watford. None of these fees have been disclosed, the ones that had fees like Bond and Sarr. But it doesn't sound like they've spent a hell of a lot on these players.
No.
Bond was rumoured to be about 250 grand. And Sarr just under 1 million.
Yeah. So not massive deals. So it's nothing to get overly excited about if you're turned on by massive transfer fees. I'm sorry, this isn't the club for you.
Yeah.
You should have known this by
walk
now.
Walk away now.
Yeah, walk away now. But yeah, Johnny, your initial reaction to those names? Happy?
Yes. I mean, yeah, you know, we replaced three players with six players or four players with six players. But at the same time, there isn't a name in there that makes you think, wow, this club is going places. They all strike me as good championship players. And like we were saying, there's investment in the team. But we've only spent about $1 million in transfer fees. Now, I'm not knocking all these players for coming in on frees, three of them, because they're decent enough players. But at the same time, you'd have liked to see that little bit more ambition from the owners. And I think that was one of the things pulling me back from sort of really getting behind them in that approval rating that we were talking about, because they've done very similar to what Anton did when we went up, which was he spent money on Chris Gunter and then brought in a load of frees. So I'm not saying, God forbid he does the same thing, but you know, there hasn't been that big sort of statement signing just yet. When you hear talk of Middlesbrough signing Jordan Rhodes for $14 million,
and Stuart Dowding as well,
exactly. You think that's a club that is knocking on the door, wanting to get the money from the Premier League next year when the TV deals go up.
Westy, Chris Hartley says, do you agree that signing players down the spine of the team is the best thing about Clark's summer signings?
Yeah, I've always said if you've got a strong spine, you've got a decent side. And you have to be strong down the middle. And I think that makes me strong. It's funny, it depends how you want to sell it, really. Because if you'd have had Paul McShane and Stephen Quinn, you'd have been paying fees for them. You wouldn't have paid a small fee for these players. Because, I mean, Paul McShane is 29 and has got Premier League experience. And Stephen Quinn's, 27? And he's been a good, steady player around this division and sort of the bottom end of the Premier League for quite a long time now. So if you'd have paid $2-3 million for them, people would have been saying, oh, good, they've spent some money. But I think they've got two really good, solid Championship or lower Premier League footballers, and I think what he's done there in Paul McShane, he's brought in a captain. That's what he's done.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Well, Jordan Abita had the armband at Bristol Rovers.
He'll be literally the captain, but he's brought in a strong centre back leader that I think they've been missing for a long time. And you said about taking players out because it was diminishing, and with your Pearces and Carajans, they were hard to leaders apparently. Well, he's obviously not been impressed with them as leaders, and they've been let go now. They've tried too hard to keep him, let's face it. So with Paul McShane and Quinn, you've got steady footballers that know the Championship really well.
I think the other thing with these signings is this is very much a departure from the Reading way, if you like, which was young and hungry players. We always heard about that, bringing players through, developing them. These are all 27 or above, with the exception of Jonathan Bond, been there, done that, with the exception of Orlando Saar. These are all players that Clark will know can do a job for him. And so I think there's been a bit of a shift in Clark's transfer policy away from what we're used to and perhaps what the Reading masses have expected over the last few years.
Or as he looked at it, like, well, I've got lots of young players coming through that I know can do it in this league. What I need is some steady heads to be able to bring them players through. I think that's what he's done. Because if you look at the players that are coming through at the moment, there's a lot of them and they all look like they're up to speed.
And what did we say so many times on this show last season? That it wasn't necessarily that individual players weren't good enough. It's just that they were inconsistent, that they weren't hitting their potential. And sometimes you need a leader to basically grab someone by the scruff of the neck and say, look, you know you can be doing better out there. I need more from you. And you're right. I don't think there were those personalities out on the pitch last season.
I mean, if you've got Hector, who looks like he's going to be a top centre-back, would you rather have him with Alex Pearce or McShane and Ferdinand?
I'd
rather have McShane and Ferdinand next week.
I'd rather have Ferdinand nowhere near the team, but that's just me.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but as experienced older heads, you know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas Pearce, he's okay, but he was a ploddy Championship centre-back.
I still think we need one big signing. I still think, even though we've got a fair amount of strikers on the books now, with Saab, Grebniak, Blackman, Samuel going through, I still think we need another goal scorer.
Yeah, I agree. And Johnny Harris says as much. He says, what do you think is Reading's best strike force is as a pair, and do you think they need more signings? Well, you're saying yes to the new signings.
It might be the same things it was last year. Goals from midfield as well. Do we still have any goals coming from midfield? Because you know Williams don't score a great deal of goals. You're lucky.
He went on that little purple patch.
Yeah, you're lucky he missed three or four games goals a season. You know?
I think not many midfielders score sort of 10 or 15.
If you get 7-8 there.
Yeah, but spread. Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's spread of goals. Even the wingers. Yeah. I mean, Robson Carney, how many scored last year? One.
Two, I think.
A penalty.
Jake Cooper scored more than our entire wingers.
McCleary didn't score enough goals last year.
No.
But I think, you know, Quinn scored a few good goals as well. So, you know, he'll add goals in the middle of the park as well. So, you know, I'm not saying they're bad signings, but I don't think they're sort of impact or statement signings, if you like.
So what do you think is Reading's best Strikeforce pair based on what they've got now?
Well, I don't know, because I haven't seen enough of them to be able to judge it.
Yeah.
I would love to say the new guy, Orlando, but...
Well, the thing is, he completely flopped when he played for Fulham two or three years ago.
Yeah, he did get injured, though, I seem to remember.
Yeah, and it was Premier League.
And it was Premier League, and he's done it in Poland, but Poland, do you know what the standard of the league is? We don't know, do we?
Yeah, Carl Shepherd did it in the League of Ireland.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen clips, and you see clips on YouTube, everyone looks like world beaters.
Carl Shepherd looked good.
If you watch him, he looks like an old-fashioned centre-forward, where he's big and strong and powerful in the air. And we have lacked that in a striker for quite a while.
Yeah, and if you go to SouthEnd.com and basically just search Orlando Sartalas, then you'll come across Chris Lash's excellent piece. He's watched him in Poland. He said he's a bit similar to Pog. Again, one of those players that might not be 20 goals a season, but chips in with a few. But it's nice that they've actually got some competition now, because with Sar, Pogrebniak, Nick Blackman, as much as I hate to say it, he's scoring goals in pre-season, so he's an option. Dom Samuel, and they've got Novakovic as well.
We just signed a 22-year-old lad from Billericay as well, which is in Essex, not Ireland.
Yeah, contrary to a Facebook post you may have seen go up from our assistant editor, Royal Hoops, who got a bit carried away.
Did he?
To be fair, Billericay does sound like it's in Ireland.
I would have said it sounded like it's in Ireland.
There you go, Hoops.
But again, he looks like a big, strong lad, you know, and will he develop? We don't know, but
he's banging in goals in the Isthmian League.
And look, opportunity. He could be the next Brett Williams, he could be the next Kevin Doyle, you don't know, but the best thing about both those two was neither of them cost you very much. Yeah. So if they're great, you know, you're great, you make 6-7 million like they did with Doyle. You only need one out of every 10
to work. That's it, you can take a punt, can't you?
Exactly, so we'll see how he gets on. A couple of other tweets related to transfers and the whole summer business so far as well. Laura Royal says, such a big movement out of people, so natural for a big movement in. Makes it exciting, but it's a difficult job. And Dean Bennett puts a good question to us as well. How many signings do you think are still needed by the end of the window? I still believe a left back is crucial too.
Left backs are hard to come by.
Especially ones that are prepared to sit on the bench.
Good ones anyway, yeah. They're very difficult to come by, so I don't think that'll happen.
McShane can play a bit of left back as well, can't he?
I think, yeah, he can fill that position. I know they've got a few youngsters coming through as well. I think, does Keane play right back, or is he left back?
Keane can play, I think he can play across the back.
I've seen him play right back.
Shane Griffin as well.
Yeah. Mm. Again, you've got players that can fill in. I think they won't rely heavily on the youth team or the young players coming through, but I think you will see a lot of them this year.
Yeah, I think you only go inside a left back if it is a Chris Armstrong type of someone that you're going to play week in, week out, and if you've got other designs for Jordan Obita.
Steady Eddie, basically.
Yeah, because otherwise, like I said, who's going to be happy to sit on the bench unless you take a punt on someone like a Joe Mills type character. But
I'm more interested in the young winger that's coming through.
Fosu, yeah.
He looks like a player. I think from what I've seen in pre-season, I mean, he set up most of the goals, and I think he'd be a star.
But he was out of contract this summer, which not many people realise. And, you know, you got the usual Villa, Newcastle, you know, trying to sign him. And eventually we managed to tie him down. And, he's been providing the assists in pre-season.
I think to the fact that they tied him down, he must have been not promised first team football, but certainly you're going to see him a lot this year. And against Derby, he was fantastic. So,
yeah.
I think... if you want young and hungry, I think you've got it coming through already. We don't need to sign anyone.
Yeah. You touched on it earlier with the defence, but with Anton Ferdinand, shockingly, and I haven't got wood around, unfortunately, so I can't touch it.
That's a pencil.
There you go, done it. Anton Ferdinand seems to be doing well in pre-season. He went to the MLS to train with Chicago Fire for a few weeks, and he's now been playing in the pre-season regularly. So it looks like Reading might actually get a return on their investment for the defender.
Finally, yeah.
Do you think he's an option to start? I mean, theoretically, if he stays fit, that's going to mean three players for two positions with Hector, McShane and Ferdinand.
And Cooper.
Cooper as well. I think if Hector comes back, it doesn't come back as fast as we said he's going to after he's had a rest, I think you'll see him start the first game.
Yeah.
Long term, though, if everybody was available on that first day at Birmingham, who's your pair?
The world position's up for grabs, isn't it?
I think it'd be Hector and McShane, but I think we saw towards the end of last season that Steve Clarke doesn't particularly trust in Jake Cooper. You know, he brought in Zach Knight for a couple of games and said that Cooper wasn't trusted on some of the away pitches or something like that.
Mm.
So I think, you know, you might see Cooper go out on loan if we get Hector, McShane, Ferdinand or fit.
I think it'd be a good thing as well. Thing to let him have six weeks away or six matches somewhere else and let him have a few games here and there. Because I think he'd be a good player as well.
I think so too. We did our crystal ball as well up on the website where we've predicted where players are going to end up in 5 years' time. It's interesting actually looking at some of that. Before we move on, people are saying Jordan Ibiza is going to be a... More people think he'll be a Championship player than a Premier League player in 5 years' time. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I think when he first came into the side, he looked like a world beater for a little while. And then sort of last year, I thought he looked a little bit ropey at times. But I think people forget that he's been moved back to left back where he's a winger. So he's still learning his trade. He's certainly quick. He's got a good left foot. He scores your goal.
The thing you forget about him is he's only 21.
Yeah, he's a baby.
He's only 21.
And I think he will get better and better. Will he be... I wouldn't think he'll be a top Premier League footballer, but I certainly see him batting around the bottom end of it.
And defence, you know, if he stays in defence, defence is one of the positions where experience helps you out more than any other.
Yeah.
And so left backs.
Yeah, especially. You know, if he gets... If he has a good season this year, I can see a Premier League team taking him, because definitely, he showed so much potential.
And like I say, left backs are hard to come by, and if you can get a decent English one who's got a bit of pace, then you're halfway there already.
Yeah.
Well, the last thing I want to discuss before we move on to the rest of the mailbag is the goalkeeping debate. Now, we talked about Anna Federici leaving, Mikel Anderson departed as well, and we have an interview with Mikel. Go on the website. He's had some nice things to say about the club in his time there. But that left basically no goalkeepers until Dave Besant came in.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about our new staff arrivals, but Dave Besant was one of four key staff to arrive. Stephen Reid pitching up as a first team coach as well, with his first job since retiring as a player. Dave Besant apparently not signing player forms, which disappoints me. If he was on the bench a couple of times for Stevens last year, if he'd come on, he's in his 50, he would have been the oldest player in Football League history.
I met him this week. He's a big lad, Dave Besant.
Can he still do a job?
I think he can still do a job.
And fill the goal.
Third choice.
Let's hope he never gets to that stage. So I remember that season we had seven goalkeepers, so it might happen, but I think he could do a job. A couple of matches.
Yeah. I think he played in the same England team as Chris Woods, who we had on loan in that season.
Yeah, there we go.
Good flow, that. But in all seriousness, two goalkeepers really competing for that spot. Ali Alhabsi and Jonathan Bond both have come in this summer. A lot of people saying they want Bond because he's a keeper of the future, obviously a former England under 21. Whereas Ali Alhabsi...
Current England under 21, he went to the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know if he's too old for the next...
Well, I think it's 22, 23, so...
Yeah, I'd be too old for it, but...
I think if you're 21 in qualifying, you're allowed to go.
Yeah. Well, whatever the case, a former England youth international against one of Oman's most capped players, Ali Alhabsi, a player who's been in the Premier League for many years. He knows all about this division as well, having spent time here with Bolton and Wigan.
Another bit of good marketing by Reading, do you reckon?
We played them in a friendly.
That's what I'm saying.
We lost the cup to them, didn't we?
We're Oman's number one club.
Maybe we brought him in to bring it, get it back.
Maybe. Yeah.
Put a trophy in the cabinet.
That's it. Maybe. So yeah, again, I think Bond will be the first choice.
Really?
Yeah, I think he will, until he makes a mistake and ends up not being the first choice. I think it's his to lose.
I don't know. I think it's Alhabsi.
I think Alhabsi. I think Steve Clarke's shown that he's a man who prefers experience over potential. And so...
I think it's the other way around to what he said. I think Alhabsi gets the shirt, but I think he's on a very short leash. He makes two or three clangers.
Alhabsi is a good goalkeeper, but he does make a lot of clangers.
Do you remember the one against Reading in the Premier League? Yeah,
it's called a goal for us.
And Wigan still won that game.
Abysmal. Yeah, and his kicking is a little bit shocking at times as well.
Yeah, we had a comment about that as well. Someone tweeted in talking about the game up at Bristol Rovers, saying that his kicking was shocking as well. Also on the point that I think it's Taylor Cornish. Yeah,
Taylor Cornish.
He also says, we need Chubba Akpom, best realistic striker available, in my opinion. Also, Alhabsi's kicking was dreadful on Tuesday.
Yeah, so I'm saying you've got a good shot stopper that makes your clanger and can't kick, whereas Federici, who had a good shot stopper who makes your clanger and could kick. So is it a downgrade?
I think he was one of the best, amongst the best goalkeepers in the Premier League sort of 4 years ago. But
it can be good. I'm saying he's a great shot stopper.
McCarthy's kicking was a bit dodgy while he was there as well.
I still think it'd start with Bond.
I'm saying Alhabsi, Johnny.
Alhabsi.
Okay, well, we'll see.
The Owls have it.
Okay.
Uncomfortable silence. Let's move on. Thank you very much for those of you who tweeted them there. Mentioned the contact details earlier, but we'll move on to the mailbag.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Right, welcome back to the mailbag. Thanks very much for those of you who've already sent in tweets that we've read out. You can get us at The Tarlhurst End on Twitter, facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End, or send us an email to thetarlhurstend@gmail.com. Just a few other questions to rattle through. We'll start with regular listener to the show, Gary Woodward, who says, who from last year's squad will take a corner and surprise us? Nick Blackman for me. And which youngster do you feel could make the breakthrough?
He said take a corner. I think me. I don't know. We'll take the corners.
Yeah. Not sure.
I did mean turn the corner.
Yeah.
Starting as a means to go on in an unprofessional joke of a mailbag.
The Nick Blackman debate, again.
I'm sure someone can go back and listen to the podcast, but I've always been a supporter of his. I'm sure I probably have got
many a times, Johnny. You have written at least on the website that if Gareth McCleary puts in the type of performance Nick Blackman does, he doesn't get slated.
No.
Yeah,
Blackman puts in that performance, he's the worst player in history.
Same with Howe.
Yeah,
correct. Again,
I still think he's rubbish, but I can understand your argument.
Nick Blackman has got all the attributes to be a good footballer.
I think he just needs a change in attitude.
Yeah,
I don't even think it's attitude. I just don't think he can put it all together.
He's got everything you need to be a decent centre forward, though. He's quick, he's pretty skillful, he's big and strong. But it's whether he can do it all season or at least now and again. It doesn't seem to happen very often, does it?
2.5 seasons he's been at the club now.
It's this year or no year, isn't it?
Still our most expensive striker.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It's this year or no year.
No. Any other players in the name who might turn the corner and surprise us?
I think Abita might have a better year than he did last year. I know he was just talking about it a minute ago.
I think he will. I think Steve Clarke will, you know, put an arm around him.
I don't think that'll surprise you, though.
No, exactly, because you've known that he's done it for at least a season.
I think the only real candidates for surprises would be someone like an Anton Ferdinand, a Kanu, or a Blackman. Or maybe if Pog goes on and scores 20 goals, I suppose that would count as a surprise. But other than that, so you would say every other player on that squad should probably be doing better.
Yeah, they should be doing better.
Akpan.
But again, unless he turns into like Clive Makélélé.
Yeah.
He's not going to surprise me. That would be amazing. Can you imagine that?
It would surprise me if he
could you imagine that? If I think it surprised him. If Hope Akpan suddenly turns the best holding sort of midfielder in the country.
It would be a real surprise, yeah. a shock. I can't see it happening.
Do you want to put money on that? I'm not going to give you very good odds.
No, I wouldn't blame you. Youngster-wise, what are you thinking, Johnny?
I think Dom Samuel. Again, he was out of contract this summer. He probably would have had a lot of interest from League One, but he chose to stay here. I think
they exercised an option for him, didn't they?
Did they? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did.
If that was the case. But I think Steve Clarke will have said to him, look, you know, you've done it in League One, you've shown that, I'll try and give you a chance. I think he could be the one to emerge, because I don't think players like Cooper or Cool or Keown will get the chance immediately.
No, I think you're probably right. And yeah, Dominic Samuel, he did do it last year for Coventry. They were pretty keen to keep him. I think, again, it's a big year for him. If he can weigh in with 10, 12 goals, I think you can put that down as a successful season for him.
Yeah, for me, it's one of Fosu or Stacey. I thought both showed potential. Obviously, Fosu is getting a lot of the limelight. But I thought Stacey looked lively when he was coming off the bench.
Yeah, it's pace. It's a good thing. I mean, I think we said at the end of the Derby game, it's nice to see a Reading team that was quick going forward rather than ploddy like that.
And there are transfer doubts over McCleary and Robson, Kanu and Blackman. So he could find himself very much...
The one thing I'd be concerned about with Fosu is throwing him in sort of straight away, because I don't think he's had much experience of the league. And we've seen him obviously in a few minutes, well, majority of the game at Derby, he looked very good. He's looked good in pre-season. But if someone gives him a kick in the first minute of a game, or, you know, if we have to do in a solid defensive job, I don't know how he'll react.
No, he may be one that he just keeps for the last 25 minutes for the first part of the season. The surprise element of him.
Yeah.
I think if you play him give him a run in the team, I think teams might work him out.
Yeah.
Mm. And they have to sort of learn again, come again, you know?
Yeah, well, a couple of quick questions on loan signings. Ian Phillips asks, QC Appiah for the rest of the year? Thoughts? While Ben Prince says, would you take Shalaba on loan this season?
I'd take Shalaba, I wouldn't take Appiah or Appiah.
Agreed and agreed.
Yeah,
I'd hate to see, well, this sounds really harsh, but I'd hate to see Appiah getting game time over Samuel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's any need. I don't think there's any need to have him here when Samuel's been given opportunity.
I don't think Appiah showed much. I mean, he only scored, what, one goal up at Derby?
He's never really proved it anywhere he's been. Has he?
No. He missed those two chances. I remember on his debut, he came on and missed two really good chances.
He looked lively, but I think Samuel could do the same job.
Yeah, agreed. Moving on, Ben Prince got another question. He says, actually, I'll save that for the very end. Ian Phillips says, you'll probably cover this, but where do you see us finishing this season? I'm going to sit on the fence, as Johnny is prone to do, and say I'm not going to predict until I see the lineup on the first day. In fact, I don't really want to make too many predictions until the window closes, because until then, you know what sort of squad you've got.
Start well, and you could finish high. I think I'll do it every year. I come to the season thinking, yes, this is going to be it. I still think we look better as a squad than we did last year. I think he's doing the right things. I think we'll finish higher than we did last year, hopefully. Shouldn't be too difficult.
But do we go down?
Will we be in a promotion push? I'm going to say 8th.
I said 8th, actually. So I wrote an article for the Football Lab, and they said, where do you think Reading is? I just said 8th.
Yeah. At this stage, 8th.
Yeah. I mean, Steve Clarke gave an interview, I think it was at Royal Ascot, and he sort of said the Championship surprised him in that. So I think, you know, with another season of, or half season of Championship football under his belt, with his own players, another off-season, well, an off-season to put in his ideas, I think there's no reason why we can't do well this season.
No, there's no reason why we can't.
Go 8th as well.
Yeah, there's no reason why we can't finish higher than 8th, but I can't see us winning it, that's for certain.
No. Like I say, with the investment, when you see teams spending silly amounts of money on players like Stuart Downing and Jordan Rose...
Madness. Well, they're saying that Fulham spent, what, 11 million on Ross McCormack and finished, what, a couple of places above us.
It doesn't always mean a lot, no.
And teams like Burnley spend pennies and get promoted. So it's a completely open league. A couple of lighter notes to finish on. I'll start with No Money, No Cry, who says, if you called last season a Skoda in the car world, what can we expect this season? Ford Sierra hatchback or Fiat Uno 2-litre?
I don't know. I don't think a Sierra is that good. I don't know about a Fiat Uno. Is that a good car? Or
no.
It's a 2.0, so it must be pretty powerful.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Everything version 2.0 is better.
Exactly.
I'm saying more of a sort of Volvo Estate, a bit steady.
I'm going to say we're going to be one of those, like a mid-range car, like a Peugeot, but a Peugeot convertible. So it looks a bit flashy at times, but then when you get closer, you think, this is more functional than flash.
Yeah, I think, again, I'm sticking with my Volvo. We'll keep going to the end, but no one's going out and buying it.
exactly, my Volvo, I think you said last
time. Your thoughts on the car comparisons to at the Tarlhurst end, please. And finally, Ben Print, as mentioned earlier, he says, what's the most wrong you've ever been about a signing, good or bad? Mine was Jimmy Quinn. I thought it'd be terrible.
I'm still living in the hope, even though he's retired, that MS Faye comes good.
One day.
I'll tell you what, his first 45 minutes, I was so impressed by him.
He's retired.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. He's completely gone.
I think the flip side of it would be Massar. I thought he looked like a world beater and then realised he was a world eater.
Again, Royston.
We got another star.
I've never wrong about Royston
Drenter. Orlando
star. Don't know, were you never that... I can't remember what you said, but there was a bit of excitement.
There was excitement, but...
He played really well in the first couple of games.
I think I did
season.
Mention, if you're dropping out of Real Madrid and coming to Reading, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, but the thought was is that even if you're dropping out of Real Madrid, you're coming to Reading, so the drop-off is such that you should be great at Reading.
You should, but it didn't happen, did it?
No, it didn't. He's awful. I think he's trailed off in Turkey as well after he scored that goal in his debut.
Same with Orlando. He's had a few problems out at his football club.
Fell out with the manager.
He fell out with the manager, sat on the bench. Mm-hmm. A few rows left in the cloud.
See how that one pans out. But
is he?
Anyone else you've been wrong about?
Never wrong.
I think you slated Adam Federici for...
Again, I slated him to the end.
No. I'll say I got a
Shane
bit...
Long. You must have been wrong about Shane
Long. Oh, I was badly wrong about Shane Long.
I think a lot of us were wrong about Shane Long.
Long term football fan cast or Royals post or Tyler Said podcast listeners, dig out some archives of this.
Shane Long, definitely I slated him. I said I'd drop him off at the next club that wanted him. And then about a year later, I was saying, I can't believe they're selling him. That is what football's all about.
Indeed.
It's all about opinions.
Wrong opinions.
Bad ones. That's what this podcast is all about.
That's it.
Bad opinions.
That's it.
Right. That just about wraps up the mailbag. I said thank you very much to those of you who got in touch. Feel free to send in your feedback throughout the week. I said if you do get us on Twitter, try and use the TTE podcast hashtag. It helps us get into the show. And the earlier you get in the feedback, the more I can do it. Because I'm trying to plan these shows more, guys. We've got a professional outfit. We're trying to be slightly less of an unprofessional joke. Yeah, we have got paper. You've probably heard it rustling, which is a sign of our unprofessionalism. Anyway, let's move on to any other business.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter.
At the Tarlhurst End.
And facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.
Right, welcome back to any other business. Pre-season rolls on. It rolls on to Wickham's Adams Park, which seems a bit of a strange venue, for a friendly against Swansea.
That was a weird one, that was.
I think it's got something. I think it's for two reasons. One, I think they want to protect the Medeski pitch. And two, I think they're trying to work out, or they have worked out a deal with Wickham to host some of our reserve games next year. Then, Monday, as we record this, we travel to Crawley.
Glad
then is Espanyol at the Medeski Stadium.
Espanyol Reserves.
Yeah, they're playing two friendlies in 2 days, so
they didn't really promote that, did they? I did catch that a bit later on. I thought it's going to be Espanyol reserves against Reading first team.
You can read my thoughts on pre-season as well, so you know I'm a pre-season hater. But I will say this, I don't care if it is Espanyol reserves, I'd rather see Espanyol than Swansea for a third year Reading. So on that one, the club's actually got it right.
But you can still Swansea.
You can still see Swansea.
They've just been moved out of the Macy Stadium.
But that's what I mean, it's something a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, again, I remember years ago, I think they played Genoa and they actually come down and give us a complete lesson. Yeah, complete lesson how football should be played.
Swansea gave us a lesson last year.
I do miss the innocence we had about 10 years, longer than that now, 15 years ago, when we hadn't been in the Premier League and you used to get Spurs, Newcastle, Chelsea, teams like that pitching up to the Medeski or Elm Park. And it's like really exciting. It's like,
Scott Davies scored a free kick against Chelsea. Yeah. We thought this guy's going to be a world game.
I remember being the one time I did hospitality at Elm Park was for a friendly against Spurs. And I think, I want to say Les Ferdinand scored for Spurs that day.
Right, well done.
It was good. Yeah. Caspoyo was playing as well, I think, as well.
There we go.
But there you go. Anyway, but basically, I
hate pre-season.
Well, there are. I do hate it. There are very few friendlies these days that are going to excite fans, unless it's a decent foreign opposition.
Yeah, or Tottenham behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Fight Club. That's where they're at Wickham. Fight Club.
Fight Club. Oh, my word. Anyway, moving on.
Don't cross the county border.
Don't talk about Fight Club, by the way.
So, three more behind open doors friendlies.
Blimey, they've opened the doors for a couple. That's nice.
Yeah, whether many people will go through them is another question. And then we move on to Birmingham for our first league game of the season. The fixtures are out. We start at Birmingham, then we've got a cup tie at Colchester, and then it's Leeds at home for your opening week. Fun. See, the Leeds game has been moved.
It's always moved. We always play Leeds on a Tuesday for some reason.
Yeah, well, this one is because Leeds are on the telly in the League Cup on Thursday.
Leeds are always on telly.
Leeds are on telly four times in the month of August.
Why? Oh, well, I know why, because they've got a big fan base, but why do you have to watch Leeds all the time?
You don't have to watch
it. Yeah, I was going to say, the best thing about this is Westie, is you don't actually have to watch it.
But it's football.
I will watch it, because it's early in the season.
Unless you've lost your remote control and you don't know how to turn telly off.
No, I suppose I don't technically have to watch it, but...
Well, we're on the telly. One of our games is on.
Ipswich Friday night,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and luckily for me, I'm away. So I'll still get
to luckily for me, not I'm off work. So
I thought you were going to say, it's like, lucky for me, I can still go. He's like, no.
Sister's wedding, so we had to watch it.
See, you're going to sneak off for the wedding at 8 o'clock to watch Reading against Ipswich.
Hey, she's the one who booked it, not my problem. She knows the rules.
I would have thought, after watching Reading for 20 years, you would take any excuse to not watch Reading. I take relish these days when there's fixture clashes, except for cup semi-finals.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, I'm actually kind of a little bit glad that if I've got a really good excuse to miss a game.
Can't not go.
Especially last season when we were so abysmally awful. I don't care, you can sit and call me a bad fan all you want, whatever. But I'm sorry, what would I have gained from turning up to those Leeds and Wigan games?
I wonder if there is anyone out there listening to that bit for, oh, he's a bad fan.
There will. Some people will. Some people are like, classic. You should support your, you've got to back the team. You're part of the reason they're not doing well. You can say that if you want.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like a bad marriage. You've got to know when you've got to walk away. Yeah. You know? When it's too late, it's gone. The love is gone.
Yeah. Well, I go, I've bought another season ticket for this year. I've signed myself up for 23 more games of punishment. They've got my money.
That's it. They got mine as well. Again.
Yeah. They've got significantly less of Johnny's money because of the new ticket price, isn't
they? Exactly. One more year of being 24.
I thought you had the under 7 pass.
No, I
haven't. I thought you had the OAP pass.
Although I will say this. This year, they've employed more people to check what age you are.
Saw that.
Mm.
Oh, dear.
I think they might have cottoned on to the scam I was going after for quite some time.
I don't know how they're supposed to check, though. If you're 17, what ID do you have?
I don't know.
Like, bus pass? I don't know.
Bus pass.
Or maybe they said, well, you haven't got ID.
Well, technically, you have no ID, will you?
Exactly.
Yeah. I haven't got a driving licence. I'm not old enough, so.
When I was coming back... Through security at Gatwick, they've got the two lines. They've got the biometric line, which you can whiz through, or the big queue up line. And they're like, you can only go through the biometric one if you're over 18. So this woman said to me, are you over 18? Best day.
Yeah?
Best day ever.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. Turn 30 this year.
Wow.
Well, next year.
Boyish good looks, mate.
I turned 30 on the last game of the season, Blackburn away. So if we can just win the league, lift the trophy at Ewood Park.
What a 30th birthday that'd be.
Yeah. I won't actually be there because I'm away again. I've again managed to book myself away in May.
Oh,
I don't learn. Right, that just about wraps up the show. Just a few other things to plug. I want to say thank you to everyone who bought another one of our Tarlest End mugs.
unprofessional joke.
Yeah, that's exactly what the mug said. So thank you. We've now sold out of those. We're very much looking for your ideas of merchandise you'd like to see for us to sell to you at a reasonable price. So obviously, if you want to suggest diamond encrusted things, I think the startup costs are going to be prohibitive.
I think we can make a fortune if Fred have a really bad season. Get some t-shirts, unprofessional mugs. Hey, start a protest. A protest. We can make a fortune out of this.
Right, so we're basically ready to fail.
Yeah. We'll have another pants day.
Yeah,
there you go. We'll sign McShane and Twin. Let's have another Tarlis and Twin. Ginger day.
Oh, remember what happened last time? Them fall out of that.
The secret footballer wasn't very happy.
That is a mistake.
If you have got a serious idea for merchandise.
They were serious ideas.
I will say this now.
That's all I've got.
If you email us with a really good merchandising idea, as I said, make it financially viable, because contrary to what you might believe, I do not live in a mansion with unlimited funds. It's more of a 10-bedroom estate.
I like this idea already. What we do, if you've got a decent idea, you come and pitch it to us like Dragon's Den. We'll say if we're in or if we're out.
Yeah, if you've got a decent idea, don't just do it yourself. Come to us. And
yeah, we'll do it. Tarlis Den?
The Tarlis.
Tarlis.
Yeah,
there you go. It's not bad.
If you do have one of these ideas, send an email to thetarlisden.com. And if, I'll tell you what, I will say this now. If you come up with an idea that we use, I will give you a free copy of whatever we make.
That's leading. I'll be worried about that. Whatever we make. Okay, you can have whatever we make.
No, as in, like, if you come up with a great idea for a t-shirt, I will give you one of the t-shirts.
Oh, we're doing t-shirts, are we? You said that was a bad
idea. No, if they come up with a good idea.
Okay, fine.
Derailing the show. We're not keeping to time.
No, we're not. We're ad-libbing.
We are ad-libbing.
Often the best bit.
If you have plenty of time to kill, and you do enjoy what we do here, first of all, thank you. But there is much better and much less unprofessional jokes on the website. Go to tarlisden.com. Lots of really great content from loads of different writers. So you don't just have to put up with my ramblings or Johnny's or even Westy on the very rare occasion he sends in an article.
Which never happened.
He did once.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
He did once. But yeah, head over to tarlisden.com. And if you've got article ideas of your own, again, please send in an email. We're very much a fans website for fans by fans. So send us in any ideas you have, or if you want to get involved in a regular feature, as I said, thetarlisden@gmail.com. And that just about does it. As I said, thank you very much for listening. Please subscribe if you can. Gents, anything? Any last words before we go?
Are we doing a podcast before the season begins?
Yes, we will be.
Okay.
I think we'll do one after the Espanyol game, in a date to be confirmed.
Yep, I've enjoyed it. Nice to see you boys again.
Yeah. Yeah, and in that show,
proper tearing up here.
Yeah, we'll do a few. Obviously, we'll run through a bit more proper predictions. We'll look at the rest of the championship, how they're all getting on, and we'll start our prediction league as well, of which I am the reigning champion. Gents, you haven't paid me yet.
The thing is, I don't like talking about past successes. It's all about onwards and upwards, isn't it, Johnny? If you finish bottom, you've got something to work on. That's all I look at.
You've got to try and work out who's going to be your bet every week for first goal scorer.
Oh, yeah. Hector.
Oh, I was about to say we'll reveal that on the next show. No reason to listen now. We're done. That's it. It's the season done.
It's a possibility.
See you next summer. In all seriousness, I will be back on Monday speaking to Charles Watts from Get Reading in the Tarlisden Podcast Extra. So we'll catch up on all the events that happened in the Swansea game. Plus, we'll get all the latest transfer rumours and speculation. As I said, that's us done. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time. Or if, you never know, if they sign two or three big players, maybe we'll come back next week.
See you in a couple, 3 weeks' time.
Yeah. See ya. See you next season. That is us. Thanks very much for listening. Ta-da.